Okay, we now have a second Skype remote speaker, which is actually Lisa Harvey. And again, apologies for using this tool, but it was the most convenient for some of our speakers, and so we're sort of working with what we can. I'll just dial her in, and hopefully we won't be too long. Little face. Lesson for future events, never have two remote calls back up against each other.
Hello. It's easy to get frustrated with the technology, but at the same time, I still think it's extraordinary that you can just pick up and talk to somebody free with video anywhere in the world. And the fact that there's still a little bit of teething problems here, to me doesn't negate the importance of the tools. And we're a minute ahead of schedule. Interesting experiences was watching. I don't know if any of you were watching the live video link coming out of here, but it's about 3 minutes behind. All right, I only had a quick look.
Can you hear me now? Okay. I'm afraid I'm going to have to assume that there's an audience out there because I can't actually see anybody. So thanks for inviting me. I'm not spoken at a conference without actually being here before, so this is a bit new to me. It's becoming more common as conferences that I've been to recently, and I'm sure that it will become more and more common as time goes on. It's also interesting to see how the participation is increasing through mechanisms like this, where conference speakers can participate and where conference proceedings are streamed out so the audience grows as well. It's an unusual, I have to say, very unusual way of speaking at a conference. But so if I'm a little bit hesitant, it simply means that it might feel like I'm talking to myself a little bit. So Pia has asked me to speak here as a part of the Government 2.0 Task Force. I would like to say that the task force has now completed its work. We handed our report to the minister in December, and that meant that we had nothing more to do and we were freed of our obligations. So I am not a task force member, I'm an ex-task force member, which is a very interesting position to be in. The task force was a very hectic and very exciting time. So I'm going to talk a little bit, not so much about the findings or the recommendations, because I believe we have articulated this very well in our report. And I would encourage all of you who have not read the report, the final report, to take a good look at that. Even if you read the draft report, the final report had has been revised considerably and has resulted in what we believe is a very strong set of recommendations and a very strong set of findings. The report is being very well received internationally, and I hope that it will have a long life and have very productive life with the Australian government, at least, because it was, well, all of us on the task force were, in fact, very proud to have been in government. So, as I say, it's kind of odd speaking like this. I hope that you guys will laugh at my jokes. I'm going to proceed as they are, in any case. I'm also going to talk about the process today. So, as I say, the task force report is... Pia has just me to say that you are, in fact, laughing. I'm pleased about that. As I say, I don't want to talk so much about the findings of the recommendations, as I think they are really self-evident and articulated in the report. What I'd like to talk about is the process that we went through. It was a really interesting 6 months, a very productive 6 months, and a lot of experimentation, which I think one of the strengths of the task force and one of the opportunities. We were, in a sense, in a position to be able to experiment with online engagement much more than any other kind of consultation would have been. We were free to try stuff, and I think that's a really important consideration when we look back on what we did, because in fact we did fail in a couple of areas, and we're incredibly and surprisingly successful in some of the other areas. The failures were, we had more permission to fail, I think, than any other consultation we had, simply because we were talking about the government online engagement. So if we couldn't try and fail, then I don't think anybody else would have the opportunity to do so. So that opportunity to try stuff and the great challenge, and that's what I wanted to do. So let me set the scene a little bit. The task force ran for 6 months, from June to December. We were asked to consult with the community, to review the scene internationally, to talk with government agencies and to come up with a series of recommendations. Our terms of reference boiled down to two deceptively simple ideas: government engagement online and access to public sector information. We were 15 on the task force, made up of an interesting composition of people selected by the Minister's Office on advice from various people, I'm assuming. Our chair, Nicholas Grill, is an economist, and any of you who have seen him speak will know that he is a great intellect with a great ability to articulate ideas and to pull things together. And he was a very interesting fellow, and I came to like him a great deal. He is a great asset to the Australian government used in this kind of capacity. We had many senior public servants, including the Australian CIO, Em Stewart, and people from the Prime Minister and Cabinet, from the Department of Defence Communications, and Australian Bureau of Statistics, for example, as well. And we had several senior people from corporate IT, Microsoft and Google. From the Powerhouse Museum, we had Seb Chan, who represented the museum sector very well. A couple of consultants and Professor Brian Fitzgerald from Queensland, who is an expert in Creative Commons in Australia, and he was an incredible asset to the task force as well. And of course myself, and I considered myself almost as one of the little people. On the task force, there were some towering people there, and I was very privileged to be one. one of the features of the group that made our work a success was that we essentially all agreed on the fundamentals. We didn't have great raging arguments about the ideas that we were trying to deliver. We were all suggesting that government should engage more, and we were all suggesting that government should release data. And there was no general argument about that. Of course, the detail we argued quite a bit, and that was a lot of fun. We were 15 people with very strong opinions, but we all agreed that the direction we were heading was of value to the nation. And I think that was an important part of the success of the task force, was that we could have incredibly valuable discussion and debate around not so much the direction that we took, but how we got there. And that was really good. I see two weaknesses in the composition. One was that we were represented not very well by people from the front line of the public service. We had very senior people in the public service, but not those people whose job it is to engage the community as much. And I think we lost a little bit because of that. And I think the corporate representation skewed the perception a little bit towards the idea that the agenda was an IT agenda. We were trying to be very clear that it is not an IT agenda. It's not about technology. Technology is a supporting platform for the delivery of the things that we're talking about. But the agenda is essentially cultural, and it is about community, about democracy, and about the population. But these are minor criticisms, and the task force team were put together, and we did consult a lot with people in many sectors. We were launched at Parliament House in June at a public sphere event organised by Senator Kate Lundy and our friend Pia. This was a great launch, and it set our momentum quite substantially. It really did get us off with the roaring start. It was also a great example of how ideas and engagement can be freed up using models for discussions such as the public sphere events, models for participation, and using technology to expand the audience. And the public sphere events that run over the next 6 months by Senator Lundy and Pia and others within state government became a great focus for community participation and are a really good example of how government engagement on issues is not something that is necessarily controlled by those who are doing the engaging. So the public sphere events were in many ways part of our engagement, but they were not our engagement. They were run independently, they were independent discussions, but they were intensely valuable to our process. And that I find very exciting. These debates and conversations can happen separately and independently to the conversations that are going on within government, but can still have an immense contribution to the outcomes from government debates. I've often said that online engagement, there are many conversations that have happened without government being involved. Government does not If government doesn't provide a place for the discussion, then those people who are interested provide their own place and they will have the discussion anyway. And that is an important contribution to our democracy, that it shouldn't be replaced by government online engagement. It should be enhanced by it. So the 6 months that we had, we were supposed to meet fortnightly. We were supposed to hold public consultations and some roundtable discussion. We were supposed to build an international reference group, which was incredible and that had some enormous people on it. It was just fantastic to talk to people internationally. Our chair went off for a little bit of an international study tour, very brief as it turns out. We were to engage online, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. We were to write an issues paper and assess submissions from that. We were to write a draft report and assess submissions for that, and then we were to create a final report and present that to the minister. And in amongst all this, we had $2 million to spend, which was a lot of fun as well. So we were going to be busy. one of the important jobs that we did undertake was the online engagement. We kind of call this eating our own dog food, which was a phrase that was borrowed from Cisco, and is all a little gruesome. I quite like the idea of calling one of the chapters in our report eating our own dog food, but the rest of the team thought quite a good idea. But that was one of the ideas that I contributed that didn't. In terms of our online engagement, our blog was clearly the central point of contact. And while it there was some criticism of the way that we went about it, and I would be one of the critics in some respects, it was done in a, you know, for a very short time, limited resources, not a great deal of planning, I have to say. But it still was quite a substantial success. We contributed posts, all of the task force members. We had guest posts. We monitored the comments of those. The guest posts, I looked at, a very, very important dimension. It meant that it wasn't just us telling the rest of the world how things, but that we were inviting people who knew stuff to contribute to the debate. The comment streams were providing some incredible insights. And these kinds of information that comes out of the comment stream is the stuff that doesn't surface through a submission process, and it doesn't come out in open forum. It comes out of that interaction that happens from one thought standing on the shoulders of another. It's an amazingly powerful and valuable addition to the process, and the difficulty is in creating that environment where that kind of participation is valued and where that kind of participation is easy for participants and where it will be captured and exploited. We believe we did that to a reasonable extent. While the comment stream that we had using WordPress and comments on the blog was probably inadequate for the depth of commenting that we had, we were still able to get an enormous amount of value. During the blogging process, one thing that I learned very early on is that public servants are really not allowed to say anything online. We know now that situation has changed with the new release of the new Australian Public Service Commission guidelines on engagement online for public servants that are now so substantially better than they chalk and cheese from what they were to what they are now. And the task force doesn't take credit for that, although we believe that we did have some influence into the process of the public service changing the guidelines. We're very excited about that. So our senior public servants weren't actually able to contribute to the blog to the extent that I would have liked to have seen, and that was simply the nature of the culture of the public service and an interesting demonstration of the effect of that in our own consultation process. One of the other things we did was try suggestion boxes, and we did this shortly after the White House had done their suggestion box, so we kind of had to do it. The White House did it, so we had to do it. Ours was moderately successful, but I think the fact that it's not yet well understood. I think that there is a way to go before people really get it. And I think that we need a little bit more support in getting it working well, but we did it because we needed to try it, and it worked okay. We also tried Twitter. The Twitter feed from the task force Twitter account was not particularly compelling. However, the #GovAU tag was terrific, and it generated constant discussion and links and ideas, and it's got a laugh of going to continue forever, and I'm excited about that idea, and I think the hashtag Twitter feed was way more valuable than the contributions to Twitter from Tusk. One of the things that we did do a lot of, not so much seen by the public, was the video conferencing. We used Cisco's video conferencing network, and that was incredible. We had participants logging in from London and when they were travelling, and by telephone when they were where they couldn't be. We had conversations where we had people in Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane and Sydney all in one multi-point video conference, and the technology is astounding, and the ability to meet more often and to have really effective meetings was quite terrific. We also were able to meet essentially face-to-face with many of our international reference groups, and we're kind of proud of the fact that we saved a lot of airfares and a lot of greenhouse emissions by the pricing. We also use some online services for our own internal communications, things like document sharing, message boards and email lists. This all improved our efficiency and helped us to get through the workload, which was really good as well. We also had to participate in the traditional courses. So we needed open forums where people came and sat down, and there was a panel up the front, and we asked questions and they answered, and they asked questions and we answered, and the usual traditional process. We had issues paper and we had submissions to that. These things, of course, were supplemented by the technology we placed at the time. We had our some of the open forums were recorded. I don't think we streamed any of them. We may have tried one or two, but we did record them at least. We also had our submissions paper online that could then be commented on directly on the page, and other people could see the comments as well. That worked okay. We did it also with our draft report. It worked okay. The technology platform wasn't particularly intuitive, but certainly the process was well received, and people did participate in it. These traditional processes are actually very, very important. In our consultation, we probably got away with the whole thing online, but that wouldn't have really been comprehensive enough. For many consultations, however, the audience capacity is not as great, and the traditional processes are still more appropriate and more effective. And rather than our process, which was traditional process supplemented, our process was online engagement supplemented by traditional. Many circumstances, the traditional processes will be supplemented by technology and online engagement processes, and that will depend on the agenda, it will depend on the audience, depend on the agency, and the more that mix happens, the greater the access of the audience to the issue. We also ran some competitions with real prizes, because we had money to spend, which is kind of fun, including one for the best not-for-profit idea for the best use of data. We also tried to find the government website that could most benefit from the accessibility makeup. We used the ideas format to find other ideas for using data sets and data sets that should be released. It was moderately successful. As I noted before, it is probably not well understood, and with a bit more planned publicity, I think it would that could and more and more accessible to people. Our big success, however, was Mashup Australia competition and the Mashup Space. Mia Garlick, who was on our task force from the Department of Information and Digital Economy, and who is just a dynamo in her own right, she was 9 months pregnant, took on the role of getting data sets out for the Mashup competition. Her and her team worked endlessly at times to generate a really useful list of government data sets that were added to the data.gov website, which was also one of our, we believe, one of our successes. So we had this great list of data sets available under Creative Commons licensing, and people were asked to create applications that used these data sets. We had 82 mashups that were submitted to the process over the month that it was running, which is an incredible response for a small population unattended that is not, you know, widely understood. We had 12 winners in different categories ranging from excellence in bashing to transformational challenges. And the response was amazing. The prize winners actually got a trophy which was in fact a potato masher screwed to a wooden base with mashup competition winner plaque on it. Kind of. The transformational challenge was an important part of the competition, recognising that data can be useful to people, but it may need a little bit of work before it is really available to people. So, as an example, the ABS XML project took ABS data, and which is usually released in Excel format, and turns it into XML, which makes it much more machine readable. So we also had several mashup camps, which were terribly expensive. We had some run in Sydney and Melbourne. These were mostly run independently, with a little bit of assistance, our financial assistance from the task force. I went to the one in Canberra, and it was terrific. People came and they coded and they built things and they used data, and it was an incredible night, I have to say. I'm not a coder, and I didn't stay up all night, but other people did, and they were terribly enthusiastic and incredibly ambitious projects they were undertaking. And essentially, they had a short space of time, they had sandwiches, they had caffeine, and they had adrenaline, and they did magic. Lobby Clue was the winner from the Canberra Mashup, a group of people who had never met before. Before the Saturday afternoon, they got together, they took information about agencies, about list of lobbyists, and from business directories as well. They took information from the Department of Finance about what suppliers had won tenders, and they put it all together and created a visualisation of that links suppliers and agencies and lobbyists. What an incredibly powerful addition to our democracy that kind of thing is. Not only had they not met, but one of the guys lost all his code at 3 a.m, which no doubt in a moment of silliness meant to delete and when he shouldn't have, and he had to redo it, and they still won. It was an incredible process. So the participation of other people in the task force process was in fact very inspiring. In hindsight, I think that we could have harnessed these opportunities much more, harnessed the momentum and the ideas, and these would have added additional dimensions to our work. And I think this is a really important learning from the task force process, is that whatever the agenda, there are people out there who want to contribute. So this engagement, this eating our own dog food, was a powerful outcome of the task force process. And while the impression of that participation may not endure quite as long as the written report sitting on a shelf somewhere, it is a demonstration, as I say, that there is a vast resource to be tapped. It's a mine of human thought, of human innovation, of participation that can make every government process so much richer and so much more democratic. So there's some of the thoughts that I wanted to share with you about the process of the task force, about what we did, about the dog food that we ate. And I hope that gives you a little bit of an idea of the kinds of experimentation that we did, the kinds of successes we had, and some of the challenges that we faced. I believe there is now time for questions. So.
What we're going to do, everybody, everyone, is take your questions and actually write them to Lisa so that we avoid the latency gap. So, does anyone have any questions? think they're a little shy, Lisa.
He's just Skyping me the question. What happens to the report? We presented the report to the two ministers, to Minister Tanner and Minister Ludwig on the 22nd of December, I believe. I am not certain about how the ministers are planning to release the report. I understood that that was going to happen fairly quickly. Okay, I'll answer the question again. As I say, the report was released to the, or presented to the Minister Ludwig and Minister Tanner on about the 22nd of December. So it is with them. I am pretty sure that it will be released fairly soon. If it has not been released already, I haven't heard of the release, but I have been on leave, so I'm not certain of the situation of the report now, but the recommendation will be sifted through, and they will be made go to the appropriate government departments, who will then
again, Lisa is actually on Twitter. Her username is Lisa Harvey. I'll actually tweet all the contacts of Twitter in a minute, and I'll also do a blog post with all of the links that she was talking about in a little while, so that'll give you all that information. And in the meantime, the rest of the speaks today, we won't actually have these issues. So what I'll do is I'll very quickly set up Stephen Boyd's laptop with his slides and ask him to step to the stage and start speaking.
And interestingly, just 50 metres that way, they're running a Skype session with MIT, which is appears going. They probably are actually. MIT are sort of pumping it out at the other end. So it just shows that there's a lots of different bits in the, that can get in the way in order to get this connectivity.